KLAS 90.1 proudly welcomes you to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites. Call the show now at 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 800-790-0415 or soundbites.org. Now, alongside Steve Ray and Dave Enright, here's Nick Francesco on member-supported JAZZ 90.1.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. American, all the chips in the PC. It is Saturday, the 25th of July, Anno Domini 2009, and you lucky people, you're listening to Soundbites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And we'll be bringing you news, views, stuff you can use, a couple of things you can lose, and a few things to choose. And let's start with our phone numbers. It's, if you're in the 585 area code, it's 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. 966-5299. If you're outside the 585 area code, it's toll free at 1-800-790-0415. 1-800-790-0415. Right here on member supported Jazz 90.1. And, of course, I hope you'll be listening in today, whether you're listening live on the air or over our live audio stream, which you can get to at jazz901.org, because we will be giving away tickets. Don't forget that on the 5th of September, we'll be having our 20th anniversary party.
We're getting a party.
It's going to be so exciting. And we'll be giving away some tickets today, so be sure to listen. Actually, I guess they're giving away tickets all week, so listen to the station all week, I suspect the chances are probably better of winning them during the week than they are of winning them on Saturday. But let's start with a piece of news. As more enterprises deploy wall-to-wall Wi-Fi, they're finding end users voting with their network interface cards. Given a choice, they go wireless rather than wired access. In pervasive wireless lands, depending on the industry segment, ever more IT departments are finding 50% to as much as 90% of the Ethernet that's already in place going idle, and people are switching instead to wireless lands. One well-known Northeast college is starting to evaluate 802.11n as an upgrade to its campus-wide 802.11abg wireless LAN. Part of the network was saturated with lots of users and heavy traffic because despite plenty of Ethernet ports, students use wireless almost exclusively. Colleges and universities have been among the first to discover and tackle what is, for IT, an entirely novel development and an issue that touches a nerve. No one is scrapping the Ethernet cabling in business yet, but plenty of IT professionals are starting to ask exactly what the real bandwidth requirements of their users and applications are and how these change during a day or week. For industries, companies, and locations where mobility is a primary enabler of productivity, the answers to these questions can be used to make realistic assessments of when and where to rely on the wireless LAN, a well-designed, well-managed, secure wireless LAN, and cut the cord for most, if not all, of their clients. Which leads us to our question of the day, are you wired or wireless? And your choices are wired at home, wireless at work, wired at home, wired at work, wired just about everywhere, wireless just about everywhere, and dit-da-da, dit-dit-dit-da-dit.
I'm both, though.
I said just about everywhere. I know. I should have put it a both. Somebody's going to complain. I didn't put a both. I didn't put it in a neither. I didn't put it. I don't really care. I don't really care. Right now, we've got 35 votes, and wired just about everywhere is the big answer right now. 54% of you so far. So once you've done that, of course, I realize that you haven't yet complained about the fact that there's no choice of both or neither or something else or whatever that heck it is.
Devil's
that's bubbled up to the top of the morass you call your brain. So you can go head on over. Take a look at the little yellow box underneath. Apparently, I'm in a mood today. Who knew? Take a look at the little yellow box underneath the poll. And, you know, start off by insulting your listeners. It's always the best thing to do, I think. And you'll see... give us your opinion. That'll take you to my website, asknick.com.
That's asknick.com.
You jumped the gun on the bell a little bit there.
Double dinger. Well, you're in a good mood, so I figure it's worth a double ringer there.
I think it is worth a double ringer there. And you'll be able to enter your your opinion on all of that stuff. And while you're there, take a look at what I do on my website at AskNick.com. I send out a newsletter, which you can search if you're a member. I have forums. I do all this stuff. It's only $15 a year, and I have no idea why you're not a member right now, right this very minute. And then come back and join us at the Soundbites website. You'll notice that we have you can follow us on Twitter. I'm on Twitter right now. We are Sound underscore Bites. Join us there as that. And you'll notice from our homepage that we also have a Facebook account, and our friends on Facebook are many. So you can become a fan of Soundbites through Facebook. And it's a pretty cool thing.
Matter of fact, you should mention, like you did last night in Second Life, though, for the folks on Facebook, that deceptive little thing that they're doing right now without really telling folks.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. It's absolutely true. Yeah. There's some stuff going on that, you can't see it right now. Oh, I screwed up. No, it's there. It's there. I'm just not seeing it because I blocked all that stuff. All right. That should work. You can see that you can become our fan on Facebook. And if you look at that page, you'll see that there's some very bad stuff going on right now on Facebook. If you're a member of Facebook, you need to follow the instructions that are on our homepage at soundbites.org. That will lead you to make some fixes. What they're doing is, if you've posted a picture, Facebook has changed the way they do things. And what they're saying now is, they've changed their terms of service. And what they're saying is, unless you say no, they will assume that it is all right for them to use your pictures in their advertising to your friends. Isn't that special?
Which then makes your friends think it really is you.
Right, that you're sending them this thing. Say, check out my vacation or whatever it happens to be.
They've been doing that for a while with purchases. If I purchase something, then my friends get an email saying, oh, Steve says you should buy this.
Yep.
Well,
yeah.
No, I didn't.
Yeah, right. So,
but, going back to the wired versus wireless for a second, a lot can depend on what you're doing with it. If all you're doing is internet, you know, 10 megabit is the fastest internet, so even wireless is fine for that. You know, even the original A wire or A and B wireless at 11 megabit. I work with a lot of graphic arts agencies. And even 1,000 megabit Ethernet, the gigabit Ethernet is slow. And we've had some big companies are putting in 10 gigabit and 100 gigabit Ethernet. Because you're passing around a gigabyte Photoshop file. Yeah, you need huge bandwidth. But it's always the trade-off. Wireless is convenient. Wired is faster if you're transferring large files. But now we're seeing the 802.11n is 130 megabit. So that can compete with the regular 100 megabit Ethernet that most people have.
Right.
And even gigabit's getting pretty cheap now. You can get 5-port gigabit switches for under $100.
I
remember $1,000 a port for gigabit.
Yeah. The big difference, of course, is that wired is you're not sharing it.
Right.
You know, wireless you share, so it is possible that wireless will be faster even at the same speed because there aren't as many people.
Even on N at 130 megabit, you've got 10 people using it, you're now at 13 megabit each.
Right, because you're sharing.
Yeah.
It's not quite an even share. It's radio, so whoever grabs it first with the most wins, but still, you can slow down inordinately. On the other hand, if all you're doing is web browsing and email and stuff like that, you don't care, and it's ridiculously convenient to have wireless.
Then we're back to what does web browsing mean? I'm going to Hulu and watching TV shows. Well, then I really need a fast connection.
Right.
I mean, myself, I got, like I said, both in the house. Most, you know, all of our machines are wired. But I've got my laptop, and there's times, like, I like to go out and sit on the front porch.
Yep.
And I can sit there.
Out in the living room. I get yelled at for stringing my power cord behind the couch to the front of the couch.
With the wireless,
I'd hate to think if I had an Ethernet wire, too.
With the wireless, you know, in the position I got, I can be out in the front porch. I get a very good signal out there, so I can sit out there with the laptop wirelessly and, you know, surf stuff and that while the dogs are out there playing and all that. It's been very convenient. But, like I say, I prefer the wired.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
You know,
and it's the security involved with wired Ethernet. You plug into the wire, no one can tap your signal. You know, we talk about that with wireless Ethernet, you know, wireless network and wireless access points. Would you leave an Ethernet wire dangling outside your house for anyone to come and plug into? You must put on a good password and secure your wireless.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, and like we've said, and I think folks think that we're, you know, joking with them, that when we say you can drive around most neighborhoods and find at least one wide open, and I can be sitting right across the street and stealing their information, you know, stealing their bandwidth. And if I do anything, you know, against the law, they're going to get blamed.
That's exactly right.
We had a customer this week where his airport card quit working, and we didn't have a new one in stock yet before he was leaving town. And so we said, well, just plug in wire into your router. Oh, I don't have a router. I use my neighbor's wireless.
Mm-hmm.
So he has to have a wireless card.
Yep.
And hopefully have your neighbor's permission, because it is illegal to use someone's network without their explicit permission.
Right.
Even if they leave the network open, you know, if I leave my front door open, that still doesn't give her permission to come into my house.
Right.
Tell you what, since we're going to have a party, let's give away some tickets.
I love that idea.
All right, to the 12th caller. That's the 12th caller. And here's the rules. If your staff, volunteer, underwriter of Jazz 90.1, their families, and listeners who have won within the past 30 days, you are not eligible to give away. Complete contest rules are available by writing Jazz 90.1 Contest Rules, 1139 Maiden Lane, that's Rochester, New York, 14615. So pick up the phone, dial 966-5299, or area 1-800-790-0415. We're looking for the 12th caller.
And by the time you finish reading that, we'll probably have had the 12th caller. They come through fast. We should thank your wife again for answering the caller phones.
Yeah, that does help immensely by, you know, having her in the other room as opposed to me sitting here next to you two guys trying to say, you're caller number one, you're caller number two.
You know, right.
It's just a little too hard, so.
We've actually had a question come over the Twitter. There,
cool.
We had a tweet, and the question from Tayville. I knew he'd be on this. How will Internet 2 affect wireless speeds, if at all? You folks now have to understand this. The Internet, a little bit of the history of the Internet. The Internet was originally for not you. The Internet was originally for the military. And certain educational institutions. And then at some point, we all got together in this meeting to decide whether or not to let the riffraff in. And we did. And now everybody can be on the Internet, and so that's clearly not good enough for either the military or education. So we now have something called the Internet 2, which is much, and the reality is, in the Internet, if you can hook up to the Internet, you're on the Internet. And anybody who hooks up to you is on the Internet. So if you've got a 56K connection to the Internet and 50 people are hooked up to you, they're still all on the Internet. Well, Internet 2, there are minimum speed requirements. And so it's a much, much faster system, and there are minimum requirements for how you can connect and what sort of equipment you have to connect with and quality of service and everything else. So, Internet 2 is much faster speeds, much higher quality, and not everybody is on it yet. Again, educational institutions, government agencies, a lot of other people, Apple and Microsoft and places like that. But the thing is, not everybody is. And when you are, how will that affect wireless speeds? The reality is it won't, because the wireless is only as fast as it is. Right? The big difference will be if you're on Internet 2 directly, you'll get that 100 megabit or 103 megabit or what, 115 megabit, with N that you actually do get. You know, that'll work. Right now, you can be as fast as you want off of, your wireless access point. It's still only going to be 3 or 6 or 10 megs, through your DSL or cable connection to the rest of the thing.
Here in Rochester.
Oh, here in Rochester, yeah. In places where they have, oh, I don't know, let's call it Fios, and they're getting 50 megabytes down and 30 megabytes up.
We do have a winner. I just want to say, so folks, stay tuned, because we're going to be giving away more tickets later on. But we do have a winner right now.
And so the N standard, and actually N Draft 2 is supposed to come out this month, was it, or next month?
Yeah.
It hasn't even been ratified yet, but all the companies jumped on it ahead of time because they want faster and faster wireless. They're working on the next generation of N. Currently, N peaks at 130 megabit, but the specification allows for up to 600 megabit on N. And then the next standard is Y, which runs on a different frequency. So it's all these different letters and numbers, which nobody knows.
But again, none of them mean anything comparatively because...
Right. Wired
what
is
counts,
faster.
Wired is faster, but more importantly, it doesn't matter what your wired is either, because what counts is your connection back to the internet. So if you're on a connection that gives you 10 megabits, if you're on, for example, cable, which is shared fairly early in the topology, you may get 10 megabits at 10 o'clock in the morning and 2 megabits at 8 o'clock at night when all the kids are playing World of Warcraft or whatever. And that's as fast as you're going to be, no matter how fast your wireless or wired internal network is. Your system to another one of your systems will hit that top speed. But going out to the internet, you're limited by whatever you're getting on your cable or DSL line. All right, it looks to me like we're going to take another quick break, but we will be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and each and every one of you. You are listening to the greatest computer show in the known universe, and that's Soundbites right here on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Back in just a couple of minutes, so stay tuned and we'll be right with you.
It's America's longest-running computer show. Back to more sound bites with Nick, Dave, and Steve. Next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Jazz 90.1 is supported by its members and by the Rochester Philharmonic Orchestra's Symphonic Rock, the music of Pink Floyd, Saturday, July 25th, 7:30 p.m. at First Niagara Center City Pavilion, located at the corner of Main and Gibbs Street. Guest conductor Brent Havens, vocalist Randy Jackson, and a full rock band join the RPO to perform selections from Pink Floyd's The Wall, Dark Side of the Moon, Wish You Were Here, and Momentary Lapse of Reason. For more information, please call 454-2100, go online at rpo.org, or visit any Rochester area Wegmans.
Soundbites, America's longest-running computer show, is celebrating 20 years on air. Join Jazz 90.1 as we celebrate this great occasion with a party and live broadcast Saturday, September 5th at the Radisson Hotel Rochester Riverside in downtown Rochester. Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray will broadcast Soundbites live from the Radisson from noon to 2, answering all your computer questions just as they have for the past two decades. You can ask your questions in person on the air and meet Nick, Dave, and Steve, and enjoy munchies, a cash bar, and even a birthday cake. You can only get tickets by listening to Jazz 90.1. For more info, visit jazz901.org or call 966-2660.
Hello, this is Paul Conley. Join me early on Monday mornings from 1 a.m. to 6 a.m. on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And you are listening to Soundbites on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Give us a call. Our numbers are 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. That's in the 585 area code. Outside that, it's 1-800-790-0415. Toll-free call. Join us online at jazz901.org. We have a stream, a live stream, and of course if you're in the area, you can hear us live
and
on the air.
Hopefully by this week I'll get the at least ordered. I was looking for that camera, Steve, and can't find it.
My fireware camera is not working. It must be too old.
Well, the one I remember is it wasn't that great. That's why we used your cylinder one. It adjusted, remember that stand?
Yeah.
So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go look in this week, and I'll purchase one. Because Rob said we could hang it up here once we find a position, so we could just then use that long wire and have it tagged.
That corner maybe.
Yeah, one of the corners there, sitting there pointing at, they'll be seeing the back of my head most of the time.
What's that coax socket up there?
Yeah.
That's probably for a CCT camera.
Could be. But, I'll look into getting that, and then if you still got that long cable, we could hook that up. and then this way start scaring people even more, seeing us live here in the studio.
Yep.
So, yeah, I'll get
that's
that.
A frightening thing.
Yeah. Well, like I say, they'll just see the back of my head.
Which is really your good side. So they're getting your good side. Yeah, that's important to know.
My backside.
Hey, before I go to the news, I got to tell you guys did a great job last week.
Thank you.
You really did. I was pretty impressed. It was very, very nice.
Well, we had Dan.
Dan was very good. He's the guy clearly who kept you all in line. There's no question.
Yeah.
But you guys did real good. I was very impressed. I did. I liked it a lot. I didn't get to listen live. I had to listen to the podcast. Oh, by the way, our podcast. We get quite a number of people now. Last week we had 358 downloaders. This week it's 344 already. It changes Sunday morning, yeah. So 344.
You know, before you go into news, though, we should be talking a little more about the party.
We're going to have the most fun. It's going to be at the Radisson Riverside Hotel on September 5th from 11 to 4. 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. The only way you get to come is if you win tickets. So listen during this show and listen all week to Jazz 90.1 FM. Yep. That happens to be the station you're listening to right now if you're listening live. And they'll be giving away tickets all week long. And honestly, I bet you get a better chance to win during the week than you do on Saturdays, because everybody on earth is going to be calling in for the Saturday tickets, whereas on during the week it's probably fewer people who are actually interested. So yeah, listen in. It's going to be a great party. We've got vendors. Oh, I say we. It's actually Laurel Ann, not Laurel Ann. Yeah, Laurel Ann, who has all the vendors lined up. We've got vendors lined up. We're going to have munchies and a cash bar and a birthday cake and we're going to do the show live from noon to two right at the party.
That was the boss man. He just said we got a slight correction. It is from till 11 to 3.
11 to 3.
We're going to be broadcasting from noon to 2.
Broadcasting from noon to 2. The show's from 11 to 3. I thought it was the party's from 11 to 3. I thought the party was from 11 to 4.
Ben,
I apologize. It's 11
well,
to 3.
Well, if you stay for that last hour, you can help clean up.
That's exactly right. Yeah, but that'll happen.
Yeah, there's a cash bar, so if I bring alcohol, they give me cash. Does it work that way, too?
I believe not, but certainly you're welcome to give it a try, because I want the video right.
Yeah. Well,
all right.
That'll be quite a show.
All right, let's go right to the phone. Our first caller is Dan. Dan, where are you calling from?
The city of Rochester.
Rochester, New York?
That is correct.
Hub of civilization in the Western world?
Yes, it is.
Unbelievable. What can we do for you?
Well, in my hands right now, I have last Sunday's paper, and Nick writes in regards to person who wrote to him in regards to Outlook. I'm running Outlook Express, and I sort of wanted to change the settings so that my email doesn't automatically open up in the Outlook Express program. And I'm sort of following his step-by-step instructions.
Well, it would be different. If you have Outlook Express, it's going to be slightly different. Now, what program do you want your mail to open in?
Well, it usually opens directly when I open up the Outlook Express program, and then it'll check for new mail.
Right, but if you don't want to use Outlook Express, you have to pick a different mail program like Mozilla Thunderbird.
Well, if I want to pick keep Outlook Express?
Well, what? I'm sorry, then I'm confused. You said you didn't want your mail to open in Outlook Express.
Oh, I'm sorry. I do want to use the Outlook Express program. What I want to do is change the way the mail comes in so it doesn't automatically load in Outlook Express. So I think what you wrote in the newspaper article was that you change the way that the messages show up, where you say
okay,
from
that
tools
doesn't...
menu select options, since, you know,
right.
Stuff like that.
You want to change the preview pane.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
The mail is still read by Outlook Express. It's still loaded into your system the same way. It just doesn't pop up messages until you double-click on them.
Correct.
That's
but
the only
when I
difference.
Went to the tools and options, I don't see it there. It's tools and...
It should be view and view options. Isn't
okay,
it?
View.
Right.
But here's the thing. Current view is not highlighted. It's there, but I can't access that particular function. The other layout is darkened. Next and go to folder are darkened. The other stuff is lightened like a gray color.
All right. The way that you do this, yeah, is you want everybody, by the way, wants to turn it off. And the reason you want to turn it off is because Outlook Express does HTML for their email, which means somebody could send you a virus right in your email. And the minute you view it and looking at it in the preview pane is viewing it, you can get caught by that virus.
I understand that.
So
but for
that
some reason,
just
my Outlook
that to everybody
Express
else.
Program won't allow me to change the current view.
So if you go to view layout...
Yeah.
Uncheck preview pane, that doesn't work?
Ah, there it is. It's saying basic preview pane. Right now it is unchecked. Show preview pane. Should
and
I
when
check
you,
it?
When you, no, leave it unchecked and click apply, and you still see the preview pane?
I believe so.
Well, you click a message once, and at the bottom of the window, it shows you the contents of that message.
The preview pane actually shows you the message, not the list of messages.
I understand. Okay, so what should I do? Should I check something there?
No. And
uncheck it.
No, leave it unchecked.
Leave it unchecked.
In your list of messages, when you click on a message once, do you see a preview of the contents of that message at the bottom of the window?
Yes.
Even though it's the preview pane is unchecked, try checking it again and then unchecking it.
Okay.
Or
check
he may...
it, say apply.
Mm-hmm.
See what happens, then uncheck it and say apply and see what happens. If that doesn't...
You may already be infected by something forcing the preview pane open to keep him being infected.
Yes, yes. Man. So if that doesn't work, then what you want to do is...
You can drag the slider bar, can't you?
Well, it still shows up. You just don't see it.
You can't drag it all the way to the bottom and...
It still shows. Yeah. So what you want to do is, if that doesn't work, right... Check it, hit apply, see if it goes away. Then uncheck it, hit apply, see if it goes away, right? If that doesn't work, then you need to go to securitytango.com.
Mm-hmm. I'm familiar with it.
Okay. Yeah. Click Let's Dance, click Windows Waltz, print that page out, and follow it step by step.
All right.
And for, an even higher level suggestion is stop using Outlook Express or Outlook, period. Because of all the security issues involved in the preview panes and active scripting, Mozilla Thunderbird is a much, much safer email program to use.
Okay.
Okay, give it a shot and let us know.
Thank you.
All right, thanks. That's one of the standard problems that we have. I hate to say it, but Outlook Express really is...
Well, they tried to make all these conveniences into your email because they know you're reading email so much. But the bad guys have taken those conveniences and made them bad things. So it's very difficult to distinguish the good things from the bad things. So we end up limiting how we use our computers to prevent the bad guys from getting in.
Right. All right. Our next caller is yet another Dan. Dan, where are you calling from?
From Troy, New York.
Troy, New York. How are things in Troy?
Oh, beautiful.
You must be listening to us on our stream.
Absolutely.
One of the 75 people listening on the stream right now.
I've been through Troy a couple of times.
I spent many, many happy, moments.
So, do we want to know any further?
That Troy bus stop there.
Yeah. The radio, you know. This is a family show.
This is a family show. What can we do for you, Dan?
Well, I'm looking for a software solution to... look for multiple images on my computer. I have duplicate photos that I've taken over many years, and I'm trying to find a software program that distills those down to something I can manage.
Now, you can find duplicate file names very easily. To find duplicate contents of pictures is virtually impossible.
So you're saying that you've got duplicates of the same photo?
Yes.
And you want to get rid of them. Well, Steve is right. If they have the same name... then there are a million programs we can send you to. If you're looking for something that actually analyzes the photos, I don't know of anything that does that.
Okay.
You see
not at the level that A, we can afford, and B, would run on any computer we have.
Yeah, you see it on TV all the time, but no.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
Okay.
Wasn't Google working on something like that? There are systems that are trying to do that using the power of multiprocessing on millions of computers on the Internet. But nothing really that works on a local computer. So the best you can do is file name and excuse me, possibly the EXIF data. If the camera and the picture and the date and time are all the same in the EXIF data, it's probably the same photo. But then you have a burst camera, a camera that can take burst photos, and you might take 10, 15 photos in the course of a few seconds. They could have the same date and time on them, yeah.
Okay.
But yeah, if you Google duplicate file name finder, you'll find those, but the actual contents of the photo is tricky.
Okay.
All right.
Sounds good. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you for calling.
Thank you. We got a question on the IRC channel. Here's a question from a non-Facebook using person. If you have pictures that are explicitly licensed as CC BY NCSA, and I'll explain that in a minute. I should check. Okay, apparently this is not a question. It's a drock. It's a half a question. What's the rest of it? How does Twitter compare? I don't even know what this question is. I should check something with Twitter. Identica has its own TOS where all the dents are CC
right.
BY.
Every service you join on the internet, Facebook, Twitter, you know, everywhere, they have a terms of service. And basically that means what you're agreeing to let them do.
And the big problem is?
Many times when you post a message or post a photo onto one of these services, they assume ownership and they can do whatever they want.
Because folks don't take the time to read all the fine print.
Right, you there need was to use very, the license agreements.
There was a very, well-known in the industry case a few years ago where, was it Virgin Telephone Company in Australia used a picture they found on Flickr. And Flickr is a photo sharing site, and it was an advertisement basically, don't be a dork like this girl, you should use our Virgin phones like this girl. Well, the girl that was the dork in the picture, someone recognized her who was on vacation in Australia, went back to their home in Montana and said, you know, your picture's being used like this, and they all said no. Turns out, with a couple of problems, she was underage, she was only 15, but the person who took the photo...
Oops.
Put it on Flickr with no restrictions. The only restriction he had was attribution. So at the bottom of this photo was photographed by whoever. If you don't want your photos to be used by anybody else legally, then you need to do a non-commercial, non-reproduction, you need to understand your rights. And so the photographer got in trouble for not securing the photo the way he should have. And so, and this is pretty common, and what the issue on Facebook was, is that if you don't say they can't, then they will use your picture in advertising.
They're assuming compliance without you.
Right. It's an opt-out instead of an opt-in.
Right. And the choices under – the Creative Commons is a place where you can get licenses, which means you keep the copyright, but you can set or waive whatever restrictions you want. And the restrictions are attribution, which means that if you use this picture, you have to say it's by me. Or not just pictures. Pretty much anything can be under copyrighted under Creative Commons license.
Everything is copyrighted. Period. The moment you create it.
Right, but you can explicitly say it's a CC license, a Creative Commons license, and then you can pick which one. And the choices are attribution, which means you have to say who did it. No derivatives, which means you can't rejigger it for your own use. You either shoot it out there with my name on it, or you don't use it. Non-commercial, which means you can use it, but you can't make money off it. And share alike, which means that if you use it, you have to put the same license I put on. And so, and you can mix those. So you can say attribution and no derivatives. Attribution, non-commercial, and no derivatives, or whatever, whatever.
You've got to be careful.
Yeah.
You know, right. I mean, I say.
Yes, and so the basic tenet is anything you put on the internet can be used by anybody anytime they feel like it.
Right.
If you want them to do it legally, then you have certain rights that you can put on your
and, you
your
know, that's,
stuff.
Again, one thing, you know, folks, you got to be very cautious in, because once it hits out the internet, it spreads so far. You know, I mean, it could be on umpteen.
And oh, by the way, folks, once it's out on the internet, it lives forever.
Yes.
So you may think it's real cute right now to put those drunken frat parties up on the web. When you're like 45 and going for a job interview, yeah, they're still there.
Businesses are looking at that stuff.
Yes, they are.
Yep. Yeah. Well, that was a big thing this week with that Erin Anders from ESPN who got surreptitiously videotaped through a peephole in her hotel room. Those videos have hit the internet. Well, now there's a new scam going around. You'll get a spam email saying you want to see the pictures of this woman, and when you click on the link, it's a virus. And there have been these fake viruses that have been going around for quite a while. Well, fake messages with real viruses have been going around for a while. What's sort of programmatically innovative about this particular one is if you're on a Mac, they send you a Mac Trojan. If you're on a PC, they send you a PC Trojan. So they're actually doing a little bit of work.
So the Linux people are still happy.
So far, yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so And that goes back to, you know, you want to keep your computer clean. Don't go to porn sites. Don't go to pirate sites. And try not to fall for scam emails, which is getting very, very hard these days. They can make a page from Citibank look exactly like it came from Citibank and, yep. and fool you that way. Yep. In fact, I was just listening to a podcast this morning about the URL shortening services like TinyURL and BitURL and some of those. A lot of people are saying that they don't really like those shortening services because now spam is coming with shortened URLs.
Yep.
Because nobody likes to type these really, really long URLs to go to a site.
Right.
But then you're sure you know where you're going. When you point to a tiny URL, you don't really know where you're going to end up at the other end. So it's getting dangerous to use those services. Once again, something created for the convenience of all is screwing up by the bad guys.
Yep, that's exactly right. All right, we are going to take another break. I know. Can you believe it? We just took one 40 minutes ago. All right, we're going to take another one. Has it been 40 minutes already? We will be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and all of you. You are listening to the greatest computer show in the known universe, Soundbites, on member-supported Jazz 90.1. See you on the other side.
Online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at soundbites.org. More with Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray next on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Soundbites, America's longest-running computer show, is celebrating 20 years on air. Join Jazz 90.1 as we celebrate this great occasion with a party and live broadcast Saturday, September 5th at the Radisson Hotel Rochester Riverside in downtown Rochester. Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray will broadcast Soundbites live from the Radisson from noon to 2, answering all your computer questions just as they have for the past two decades. You can ask your questions in person on the air and meet Nick, Dave, and Steve and enjoy munchies, a cash bar, and even a birthday cake. You can only get tickets by listening to Jazz 90.1. For more info, visit jazz901.org or call 966-2660.
Jazz 90.1 is supported in part by our members and by the 34th Annual Park Avenue Summer Arts Festival. The festival takes place this year on August 1st and 2nd with over 300 artists, food, live entertainment, and kid-friendly activities. As a reminder, no pets, bikes, or drinking are allowed at the festival. There's plenty of parking between Gleason Works on University and Monroe Square on Monroe Avenue, with shuttles to and from the festival. For more information on this year's Park Ave Festival, you may visit www.park-avenue.org/events. Jazz 90.1 will again be at the Park Ave Festival all weekend between Alexander and Meg's.
This is Devon. Join me every Monday night from 9 until midnight as I kick off Jazz Horizons right here on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And at 41 minutes after the hour, I've got to get used to announcing the time again, I suppose.
Yeah,
I should.
Yeah.
You are listening to Soundbites on member-supported Jazz 90.1 FM. All right, we are back, and we have a caller. We have George on the line. George, where are you calling from?
Yeah, Vienna, Virginia, a suburb of Washington, D.C. I'm a longtime listener.
Well, how
Holy
exciting is
baloney.
This?
Cool.
Yeah, I've even called in before. I got a question, though, out of ancient history.
Wait, are you inside or outside the Beltway?
Outside.
We'll talk to you. Sorry.
I don't blame you for that. Listen, I have four computers scattered throughout the house, wirelessly connected to my cable service, and three of the computers are XP or XP Pro. I have an ancient computer in the basement that I turn on about 5% of the time, or maybe 2% of the time, just because it's there. And it's a Windows 98 machine, and I used to have AVG on it as my virus protection.
Yep.
And AVG no longer supports or does anything for
Correct.
Windows 98. Is there anything out there, that's my question, is there anything out there at all that would work for free on a Windows 98 machine, or should I even worry about it? Maybe people don't write viruses for Windows 98 anymore.
You know, unfortunately, while nothing else works for 98, viruses still do.
Yeah, and the unfortunate thing was there used to be one, I mean, I'm almost 99 and 3/4% sure, there's one called Antivir. And I believe they stopped updating even their DAT files for 98.
Clam.
It was up to a few months ago. They used to work with it, but I'm not knowing of any.
Clam. Still,
Clam will.
Clam will?
Clam still works with 98, yeah.
Oh, I'll give it a shot.
ClamWin.com.
Well, yeah, they'll work, but are they updating the DAT files?
Yes.
That's the key.
Clam updates all the time. So ClamWin at ClamWin.com. Clam AV is one of the best antivirus programs, originally for Linux, later on for Windows, and I believe Mac as well.
Yep.
So you can get it for any of them. And at clamwin.com, that one still works for 98, 2000, Emmy, XP, 2003, everything.
Okay. That's great news. Thanks a lot, guys.
Thank
keep
you.
Keep up the good work.
We will. Thanks. And keep up the good work staying outside the Beltway.
You know what?
What?
We're going to have a party.
We're going to have a party.
So, tell you what. To the 10th caller, let's give another pair of tickets away. If you would like a pair of tickets to the Soundbites party, and I don't know why you wouldn't, you're going to have to be the 10th caller. Now, remember, staff, volunteers, underwriters of Jazz 90.1, their families, and any listener that has won in the past 30 days, sorry, you're not eligible, have to wait for the next contest. Complete rules are available by writing Jazz 90.1 Contest Rules, 1139 Maiden Lane, that's Rochester, New York, 14615. Now, pick up the phone, dial 966-5299, 1-800-790-0415. Be the 10th caller to win a pair of tickets to the Soundbites birthday party.
Now, if we really got into this radio thing, it would be the 901st caller.
Yeah, right.
Or the 90.1th caller.
No. The 90.1th caller. I like that one.
You want sudden death for me?
Yeah.
I don't know. Do we? I'm sorry, Matt. No, of course we don't. I beg your pardon.
You remember my lovely wife is graciously coming in here and helping us out, answering the phones. Yes, that is my wife, Lori Lynch, that you hear me in the bottom of our security tango contact her. That's the person you're talking to. She is helping us out by taking the phone calls and answering it in another room so you don't hear us saying, "You're caller number one, thank you for calling. You're caller number two, thank you for calling." So this way we can continue on with the show, and she's dealing with the folks on the phone.
God bless her.
Thank you.
Well, here's an interesting piece of news. When remember last week Apple updated iTunes to version 8.2.1, breaking sync with the Palm Pre. That's pretty much all
did,
the update did.
Big time.
Well, that feature is back along with loads of other stuff. Palm has just released WebOS 1.1.0.
We have a winner.
Yes, I'm sure we do. And the change log is extensive. In addition to resolves an issue preventing media sync from working with the latest version of iTunes, you'll find other gems like a new NFL mobile live application, tweaks to calendar, contacts, and camera apps, support for new Exchange Active Sync policies, including remote wipe, and I'll talk about that in a minute, emoticon support in text, multimedia, and IMs, a new forward swipe gesture, quite a few other refinements. Apple and Palm, I'm sure, are about to enter in that same vicious leapfrog cycle of break it, fix it, that instant messaging applications and protocols did for years. Why can't we all just learn to get along? Remote wipe is the thing that I most love about things like the BlackBerry. What happens is if you lose it, you can set a signal at the server, mm-hmm. and I'm sure it's very similar here, where the next time it's turned on, it wipes the unit. So all your private data, yep. if you lose the thing, just disappear.
Although Amazon got in trouble last week for remote wipe.
We'll talk about that next, but we'll talk about that. We've got a news article. I want to talk about that. That's a great one. But also, for those of you, as long as we're talking about iPhones at the moment, of iPhones and iPod Touches, by the way, there is an arbitrary code execution alert right now for it. And what happens is there is a if you browse to a specific website that has a specific CSS thing set up with a very large attribute, it leads to memory corruption and heap spraying, which allows execution of code on your iPod. As of now, Apple has not said that they will be releasing any sort of fix for it. So if you're an iPhone or iPod Touch user, please be very, very careful where you go browsing the web or using an app that goes to the web, by the way. It doesn't have to just be the web browser because someone can, in fact, just simply take over your iPhone. Now, it's pretty unlikely that there's going to be a lot they'll do except, oh, wait, grab all your private data. all your contacts, any private information you may have on it.
Or they can buy the I Am Rich program for $10,000.
Exactly, exactly.
Yep.
So, whatever. But the point is, if you're, you know, if I were you, I would not be keeping private data on my iPhone unless maybe it was encrypted in some way that you know is very, very, very secure. So it's a pretty big problem right now, and you must be very careful.
We got to play with an iTouch, and unfortunately now Dion wants one, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And because we're looking at it, and, you know, $300 though?
A lot of people are using
it's
it
a lot of money.
Instead of a laptop.
Yeah,
it can get your email, it can get your web, and it's a lot smaller and lighter than a
laptop. I've got a Dell Axiom.
Yeah, the competition is the netbook. And that's what the rumors flying around are, is that they're going to make a 9-inch version of the Touch to be Apple's netbook. And those are big rumors that are flying around that people are really hoping for. It's sort of one of the rumors that won't die.
But, I mean, yeah, granted, the graphics aren't, you know, my Dell Axiom aren't as... the clarity in that, you know, it's okay, but I mean, definitely the iTouch, when you look at photos and everything else, it kicks butt.
Yep.
But $300, it's like, no, I'm not going to go to that toy. I'd like to.
But. Well, that's back to the Kindle story. You know, $300 for the Kindle 2 and $500 for the Kindle DX, those are expensive toys.
Those are very expensive toys. Yeah. There's no question of that.
Yeah.
Well, who knows? Maybe at Christmas? Do they ever...
No. You're not going to find them cheaper at Christmas. No.
When new models come out, the old models drop in price until the production is gone.
Which is why the Kindle 2 is $300. The Kindle 1 was down to, I think, G280 or something.
Yeah.
but they ran out of that stock pretty quick.
Well, I think I'll wait until the iTouch gets down to, like I say, if it was like 100 and a quarter, something like that, yeah, I might consider it.
One of the people at RIT ordered a Kindle last week. Late last week, Thursday maybe. It's not coming until the middle of August. It's another 2-3 weeks before it gets here.
Ooh.
So they're not, you know, they don't have them stocked up, sitting around. It's going to be weeks before we get it.
According to Amazon, it's in stock now, and we can have it delivered on Monday.
Yeah, that's kind of a lie.
Well, was it the Kindle 2 or Kindle DX?
No, it's DX.
Yeah, the DX is much more constrained.
Yeah. It's weeks before you get your DX. The DX is bigger. It's a pretty nice little unit, actually. Well, we might as well talk about that right now. Last week, Steve alluded to this. Last week, Kindle owners woke up to discover that some of the books they bought through Amazon and placed on their Kindles had disappeared. Outrage was immediate and vociferous. Amazon founder apologized Thursday for its remote deletion of illegally sold books, including George Orwell's, I can't believe this is true, 1984 and Animal Farm on its Kindle ebook reader. In a post on Amazon's Kindle community forum, what they did was people bought this thing, and it turns from the Kindle bookstore, right?
Okay.
You just click, and it comes right down to your machine. What happened was apparently Amazon did not, in fact, have the rights to sell this ebook.
Well, the publisher who sold it to Amazon didn't have the rights to publish it.
Oh, and okay. So Amazon overnight went out and wiped it off of everybody's Kindle. This apology, and then on the
And gave them their money back.
Yeah. But this on Amazon. But you know what? If I have a book, you can't take it away from me.
If you steal a book from the library, the police can come and take it away from you.
Right, but if I bought a book legitimately, they might go after the bookseller, but not me. Nobody's going to take my book back.
You didn't do anything wrong.
Right.
It was there. You paid your money.
In a post on Amazon's Kindle community forum, Bezos wrote, "This is an apology for the way we previously handled illegal sold copies of 1984 and other novels on Kindle. Our solution to the problem was, and I'm quoting this, stupid, thoughtless, and painfully out of line with our principles. It is wholly self-inflicted, and we deserve the criticism we've received. We will use the scar tissue from this painful mistake to help make better decisions going forward, ones that match our mission." You got to give them props for that. Amazon has received blistering criticism for the move, which removed purchased files from Kindles while refunding the purchase price to a customer's account. The books in question were offered for sale by an Amazon publishing partner that did not have the rights to distribute them in the United States. This is, of course, a huge illustration of an argument against electronic book readers that keep their files in a proprietary format and keep them locked in a website. When I buy a book, I own it. I can read it again and again. Nobody takes it away from me. If I move, I can take it with me. If I decide to buy a different ebook reader, all my Kindle books books disappear. All that money I spent is gone. And apparently Amazon can decide arbitrarily to just unilaterally rescind my purchases any old time they feel like it. And does it, this is my mini rant, does it strike anybody as strangely appropriate that essentially Amazon removed the book 1984 from your library and replaced it with the electronic equivalent of a little slip of paper? That sort of, if you've read the book, you know what that means. Yeah. This sort of bizarre confluence of art and reality that can only happen in the real world and never in a novel because nobody would believe it. Kindle did the folks at Amazon did a really, really bad thing here. And I think they truly need to be taken to task. I've been saving my shekels to buy a Kindle, and now I don't know that I want one.
Well, they did say they won't do it again.
No, they still did it.
They still did it.
They have put in their software the option and ability and capability to remove books from my bookstore. Hell no.
Yep.
Yeah, like you say, they do it to this one. What's to stop them from doing the rest?
Hell no. And that's why I like to have... I want, there's a company called Plastic Logic that's bringing out their own ebook reader next year, and it's going to be the same kind of idea, only cheaper and lighter and whatever. And I want to see, I'm waiting to see if they use proprietary formats as well, or if you'll be able to buy books in non-proprietary formats.
What if all of a sudden they change their policy and say, okay, now you can only have this book for, say, like 90 days?
Right.
And change it. And you haven't finished reading the book, or you might want to read it again, or maybe your daughter wants to read it.
Right. Well, the reality is, if they tell me a book is only good for 90 days, A, it better cost me a nickel, and B, I likely won't buy it.
The difference between renting and buying.
Yeah. Right.
We're seeing that with movies, but, like, more and more people are renting.
I can go to the library and rent it for free, or I can pay money to rent it on my Kindle. No, that's simply not going to happen.
But what I'm saying, though, is what's to stop them from changing the rules midstream if they can do this?
That's exactly right. No, I'm not happy. I'm not impressed. And I'm really, second-guessing myself. I might. We're talking about buying them at work for a specific function, and I'll certainly be using one there to test it and see how it works. But I will also be cautioning them that at any time they feel like it, arbitrarily, Jeff Bezos wakes up with an upset stomach some morning, he can decide, the heck with the people at RIT. We're taking their books away. I don't like that idea. Mm-mm. I simply don't like it. Mm-mm. And until they publish something that tells me they have removed that function from the Kindle, my suggestion is you don't buy one.
The publishers are requiring that type of function. Remember the mess a few weeks, months ago about the voice reading? That one of the features of the Kindle
and your computer, for example,
is that it can read text to you. Mm-hmm. Well, printed books are licensed completely separately from audio books. So when the Kindle announced this feature, a lot of publishers said, no, you can't have your Kindle read the book because you didn't buy the audio rights. And so now several publishers have prevented Amazon from doing that. So there's a bit in the Kindle where the publisher can say, we don't want this book to be spoken unless you buy the audio version of it.
Right.
So it's... You almost have to feel a little sorry for Amazon that they're being hampered by the publishers too, and it's the publishers that don't realize the world is changing. You got to,
right. And I truly do get that, and people in the forums or in the IRC chat are saying the same thing. It's all DRM and it's all from. I get it. It's all from the publisher. That still doesn't mean that I'm going to buy into it. It still doesn't mean I run Linux because I don't like that stuff. I don't like somebody else telling me what I can and can't do with something I own.
Mm-hmm.
So, my suggestion on the Kindle is either you understand that you don't own anything you buy on it, that you're only renting it. If you're lucky, you rent it for years. If you're unlucky, it disappears overnight because they decided to. But in the meantime, I'm not the kind of guy who's probably going to be buying those. I love the idea of a Kindle. I love the idea of an ebook reader. But if I buy one, I'm going to be putting stuff on it that I bought in another way and moved over to it. I'm not going to be buying books from Amazon.com.
Yeah, because all of a sudden they decide to, oh, sorry, you don't have this rights anymore.
That's right. Yep. That's how it works.
And like you say, leave the slip of paper.
Makes me unhappy.
Cory Doctorow, who runs the Boing Boing website, has talked several times that he's an author. He writes books. In fact, I haven't gotten around to reading his latest book. He gives his books away for free. And then people go and buy them if they want to.
Right.
And he's making a living out of it.
He's making a pretty good living out of it.
And he's really, you know, upsetting the publishing industry. Who was it? The president of the Writers Guild of America was calling him a bad name.
Bad name, yeah. That's the best way to put that,
I think. But Corey has said he would like to have Amazon sell his stuff, but he does not want any DRM, and Amazon says you have to put DRM on it. So even if the author doesn't want DRM, even if the author's publisher doesn't want the DRM, it's part of the Amazon.
Apple tried that with iTunes, the iTunes store, and now you can buy, you know, for a while it was all DRM.
Right. And for several years, the publisher shut them out, and you couldn't buy some songs on iTunes.
Right.
And now they've come back, and now you can.
No, there was a movement there for a while where some writers were like putting out maybe the first two chapters of the book for free.
Yeah,
for free. And if you liked it,
well, the
then
Kindle...
you signed up to get the rest of it and paid, again, a nominal fee. But it was a way for some of these writers would never have a chance to be, you know, ever read or published.
Yeah, the Kindle does that already with published books. You can download the first chapter for free, and if you like it, buy the rest of it. But a lot of authors have gone podcasting. They'll podcast the first couple chapters or sometimes the entire book. And a lot of podcasters, Scott Sigler, J.C. Hutchins, Merle Lafferty, science fiction authors I read, they have gotten real book deals out of their podcast stuff. And most of them have worked out clauses with their publishers that
they're podcasting text.
Right, they're podcast and some
it's
of them are
podcast audio well, podcast.
No, it is. They're reading their books. So it's like the radio serials, and they've kept their deals with the publishers to we're going to keep podcasting our new books, and then it's really working. People are really buying the books that they get for free.
The big thing I don't like about most readers is they're not professionals. Certainly on the Kindle,
Well, and that was the joke about the Kindle reading your... It's a computer reading it.
Right.
It's not a performance. It's the computer reading it.
On the other hand, if you're visually impaired, that's a heck of a good thing. All right, we're going to take a break. It's top of the hour, so we're going to take a quick couple of minutes to do our business here.
We'll be back. Stay tuned for more tickets.
Right, we'll be back on the other side with more tickets, more funds, more of your phone calls. With Dave Enright, Steve Ray, and me, Nick Francesco, we'll be back in just a couple of minutes with the greatest computer show in the known universe. At 59 minutes after the hour, you are listening to Soundbites on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Stay tuned. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes, so try to be patient.
Got a computer question? Call the boys now at 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299 or toll-free 800-790-0415. Online at soundbites.org. Soundbites continues next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
WGMC Greece Rochester, a public service of the Greece Central School District, Jazz 90.1.
Streaming online at jazz901.org.
He's a composer with a full discography of work, a teacher with a long tradition of inspiring musicians, and a performer with a full calendar of dates. But where does it come from? I guess it just flows into your mind while you're showering one day, right?
I mean, that's a very romantic thing, and the problem is when you take staff paper in the shower, you know, ink runs, and you know, and you get shampoo in it, and, you know. It's a craft.
Yeah.
You know, it's the hardest thing about composition is putting your rear end in the chair. Mm. And I'm fortunate when I'm in a composing mode, which usually happens for me from about 6 in the morning to about 9 in the morning. I'm generally a very early riser, which is, you know, kind of odd for a jazz musician. But I love being up that early in the morning and having my cup of coffee. And then I go into my studio from anywhere between 6:30 and 8:30 or 9. It's just kind of like dictation. I'm working on a particular idea and everything seems to flow. And then right around 8:30 or 9, it's, let's see, ba-ba-da-da, no, ba-ba-da-ba-da, no, ba-ba-da-da, no. And then I said, heck with it. And then I usually will come back the next day and it's like, oh, bubba da bob. Oh, of course, it was an E. Of course it was an E, you know. It's just process. I mean, one of our great songwriters today, Paul Simon, I think to this day still has an office that he goes to and he writes from like 10 a.m. till 2 o'clock in the afternoon or something like that, like 5 days a week, like, you know, just like a job.
Wow.
You know, and I mean, which is one of the reasons, like in his case, he's written, you know, hundreds, probably thousands of tunes at this point.
Dr. Bruce Eskovitz is sitting in. I'm Helen Borgers.
Hear a full hour of Sitting In with Helen Borgers every Friday at noon on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Thanks for asking, but I'd rather not send you nude pictures. I'm camera shy. I already said no. Under my clothes, I'm a robot. My webcam is broken. I'm worried they'll get passed around school. I have a rash. I have nudophobia. I have lizard skin. I'm a vampire, so I don't show up in pictures anyways. Your badgering has really killed the mood.
When someone is pressuring you to do something you don't want to, how many ways can you say no before they get the message? Let us know at thatsnotcool.com. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Detroit and Philadelphia are two legendary jazz towns. In 2008, the two came together at the Detroit International Jazz Festival. Enjoy highlights from this Jazz Love Supreme on this radio station.
Thursday, July 30th at 6 p.m. on Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites, on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Get online now. Call 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 800-790-0415. Or submit your question by email at soundbites.org. Once again, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And at 4 minutes after the hour, you are listening to Soundbites on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Stay tuned this hour because we'll be giving away more tickets to our more pairs of tickets to our birthday party. That's September 5th.
We should, yeah.
From 11 to 3. 11 to 3. I'll have to remember that now.
Yeah.
At the Radisson Riverside Hotel. September 5th, and the only way you can get in is with tickets. So it's going to be a heck of a party. We'll be broadcasting from noon to 2, as we usually do. People will be able to talk live on the air. We're going to have munchies and a cash bar, and no, you can't bring your own booze and get paid for it.
We're going to have a birthday cake.
We're going to have a birthday cake. It's just, and there are going to be vendors, and it's just going to be a huge party. We're just going to have, there's going to be stuff to give that we're giving away. It's going to be way fun. We're going to be giving away another pair of tickets shortly. So stay tuned, keep listening, and really keep listening all week, because like we've said before, we don't just give them away on Saturdays. We give them away all week. And if you keep listening to the station, you'll have a better chance to win, I think, during the week than you will on Saturday when everybody calls in. But before we do anything else, let's go back to the phones and talk to Gil. Gil, where are you calling from?
We're calling from Webster.
Webster, where life is worth living?
No, life is definitely worth living here, or probably most other places. But
beats the alternative, doesn't it?
So I heard Steve make a comment, let's say maybe last week or the week before, about MAC filtering on my router. So sort of to set the stage, I have a router, like probably a lot of people do, that has some wired Ethernet connections. And I also have a wireless connection, which I use for my laptop, probably like Dave does. And I guess it would be really useful for all of us folks out here that are not as much in the know to really understand, you know, what to do. So, you know, I was thinking Mac filtering is really good. Putting a password is really good. Should I change my password every other week?
Don't use WEP. You can be
don't
broken.
Don't use WET.
Right. Use
WEP. Use WPA2,
right.
for example, or something like that. So what I was hoping was that maybe you guys could give kind of a mind dump of what are the good things to do for us folks out here battling the viruses.
All right, let's step back one. For those of you who don't know, the MAC address is the Machine Access Control address. It's a unique identifier assigned to your network card. So if you have everyone is, in fact, theoretically at least unique. So if you have two cards in your machine, a wireless and a wired, say, in a laptop, you have two separate MAC addresses. You can, on your router, depends on the router. Not all of them have this, so read your manual. But on many routers, you can say only these MAC addresses are allowed to attach to this machine. Right? So, for example, I'm sitting in my home. I open up my laptop. I go to log in. The machines talk to each other, the machine and the router. Router says, what's your MAC address? The machine says, oh, it's this. And the router says, yeah, okay, come on in. Well, you can play. And then I don't need anything else. I don't need any sort of other protection. Although,
however,
you should have other protection because people can still sniff the web. But
and
so
Mac
that doesn't mean you don't have any sort of encryption. It just means that this is an extra level.
Right. And MAC addresses can be easily spoofed in a few seconds, so they are no security.
However, they'd have to know one of the MAC addresses in your list.
Right.
Yes.
And the MAC addresses, if nobody knows your MAC address, and you've encrypted your connection and the handshaking is encrypted, then they can't sniff out your MAC address. So if you've got it secured with a really high-end security, WPA2, for example, and you're saying only these MAC addresses, that's about as safe as you can get on a router.
And with a good password, don't use an English word. Use random numbers and letters.
One of the things that we're often telling people to do is when you set up a password, the best way to do it is to think of a phrase, a quote, a song lyric, a poem, something along that line, right? Stopping by woods on snowy evening, whatever, right? Whatever it is, you take the first letter of, say, take the first two lines. It's about 16 words, right?
Mm-hmm.
You take the first letter of each word. If it's an I, you replace it with a 1. If it's a T, you replace it with a 7. You know, randomly capitalize. You got two M's in it, so you capitalize the M's.
Is an 8.
Right. If you want to go all the way, right. But that gives you what looks like a completely random letter, number, capitals, phrase, and yet it makes perfect sense to you. You know exactly what it means, and you can type it in pretty quickly. Then all you have to do is remember what poem or phrase or song lyric you associated with each thing, and then you can even write that down. You know, if for example, you say wireless equals frost, you know, that's enough to jog your memories. Oh, yeah, stopping by woods in a snowy, whatever, whatever that is.
So, miles to go before we sleep.
Yeah. But you make it longer. You make it, 10, 12, 14 words.
Yeah, not the 3, 4.
I realize, and here's the thing that really porks me off. When people say, oh, no, what they basically say is, oh, no, I'm too stupid to remember a long password. You know what? I bet you're not. I bet you're a lot smarter than you pretend to be. You're just lazy.
Yeah.
You're not stupid, you're just lazy. Stop being lazy.
So we've told stories where we go into a customer, the biggest question we don't get an answer for is what's your password, because we often need it doing service.
Right.
I don't remember.
Yep.
Okay. But a memorable password that's hard for someone else to guess. Don't use your anniversary or birth date or things like that. In fact, that's how Twitter got hacked. And the same way Sarah Palin's email account got hacked. Her security question was, where'd I meet my husband? Well, it's in her public bio.
Right.
Yeah, so security questions, give it the wrong answer. But remember what wrong answer you gave it. So if someone is trying to access your password, they won't get into it. Yeah.
Or tape it to the bottom of the mouse.
Or make it completely different.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Where did you meet your husband? Green.
Yeah.
You know? Oh, okay. It doesn't matter. They're not matching the question. They're not going to come back and say, that's not a town.
Bowling Green University?
Yeah, right. But basically, the idea is to make it something different. I tell you what, and I can tell this story now because it was 30 years ago, and if the guy hasn't changed his password by now, too dang bad. But I had a temp job in a place, and this guy, they said, oh, you got to go change this guy's McAfee. And then everybody left, and I was there alone. Nobody had given me, and it was my first day.
Your
nobody
first day as a temp, and they leave you in the office alone.
Exactly. And they didn't give me any,
were they brave.
They didn't give me the root password. They gave me nothing, right?
That was Torchwood. Her first day as a temp is when the world starts to end.
Exactly. So I go to this guy's office. I'm supposed to change the thing. I'm thinking, what the? So I start looking around. The first thing I see, he's got this gigantic poster on the wall, Porsche 911, right? So I type in Porsche 911. Boom, I'm in.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my goodness. no, not a good idea. Not a good idea. So you want to be very careful about what you pick. You know, don't, I've gone to people's desks and you know, I look around. There's, you know, two Sweetums from Honey Pie. Sweetums, wrong. Honey Pie, I'm in. Right? So, come on, folks. Seriously, it's not that hard to pick a different one, and you're not stupid. I refuse to accept the idea that you're stupid. So don't be stupid. You know, be smart and do it right.
Yeah. And change
it. We're in the middle of a phone call to Gil. Is he still on the line?
No, we...
Yeah. It is a good idea to change your password every now and then. If you're in a corporate setting, they often make you change your password every 30 or 60, 90 days, something like that. And one of the big things in a residential household thing, if you've got a guest come over, you've got to give them your password so they get on the network. Well, maybe change the password right after, or actually change it before that, and then when they leave, change it back to what you normally use.
That's what I did. Our old friend, our guy.
Well, Apple has one of the, their new Apple router has a really cool idea. It's got two networks in it. You have your private network and your guest network, and there's no bridge between them.
Nice. All right, kiddies, you know what that sound means. It's that time once again. Get your footy jammies on, grab a mug of hot cocoa, and sit in Indian style in a semicircle around the rocking chair, because if we can slap them awake, it's time for Story Hour with Uncle Dave. Uncle Dave? Uncle Dave!
Oh, yeah. All right, you know, I mentioned it. I'm going to repeat this one only because I know we got a lot of new listeners here on Member Supported Jazz 90.1. If you're signing up for the bulletin board, to get into the forums and everything else, please put in a legitimate city and state. These folks that are coming up, and I mean, again, I had another email that's sitting there saying, well, I put in the seat, and it's some city in Babylon. Well, I'm sorry, folks, but I don't know any darn cities in Babylon because I don't watch the GD program. So put in a legit city, comma, state. Well, I don't want people finding me. Trust me. If you put in Rochester, comma, New York, they're not going to find you. We're a pretty big city.
Or lie. Put Buffalo in.
Yes, I don't care.
We like to track where people are calling from to see how far we reach.
But
we're not going to come looking you up.
Not so much that, but I mean, because that's the only way you get approved for the website. Is I look for legitimate in that area because, honestly, I get over 100 applications a day requesting to get into our forum. Guess what? 99.75% of them on a daily basis are porn ads or trying to sell you stuff. I'm filtering this out because before we were getting inundated on the forums left and right. You know, porn pictures and these ads and everything else, just spamming everybody because that's all they're doing. So, you know, take the time. If you want to get into the forums, I have no problem. I check it daily. Matter of fact, I usually check it 2 to 3 times a day. If you put in a legit, a name and then city, state, I will get you in and get you up and running. And again, going back to this password, I'm going to go on a long rant here. You know, I told this story one time before, and it happened again. You get these spunky, as for another word, kids that think they're going to control the computer. And, you know, mom and dad don't know squat, so they figure, okay, well, they're going to rule it. Well, I had to remove passwords again.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I can do it. No problem. How I do it, I ain't tell it. But I can get in there, and I can rule it. And I got this porky little kid again. Well, I had it locked down. Yeah. I didn't want you in my folder. I said, well, I had to clean the machine. Well, did you put it back? No. I put one on there for your parents.
And they're hiding their porn, you know?
Yeah. I mean, hello, hiding where they're going and all that. And it's like, sorry. Well, you know, I want control on that. Did you pay for it?
Right.
You know, I mean, these kids that get the
attitude. I love these kids. They get the attitude and you say, you know what? Let me explain something to you. I'm not your parents. You got nothing on me.
Exactly.
Shut up.
Yeah, and I took them off, and I put one on there for the mother. And the mother goes, I'll call you later for the password. I said, okay. No problem. You know, because she was very pleased. You know, I mean, she's worried about where her kids are going, want to trick it. And he said, well, no, I already got set up. Don't worry, I'm taking care of it. And he was a typical 15-year-old kid. And it's right at that age, you know, where they can get themselves in trouble. And I'm glad to see a parent that's, you know, really concerned and want to get on top of it and learn.
Yep.
Again, she was very earnest, and you know, her and her husband really wanted to stay on top of this and learn more and more. She was going for one of these classes, even to learn more about insecurity and everything else, and recommending different security programs and all that.
So, I had some faculty members. We locked down the machines. Our faculty members are not allowed to have root access to them, administrator access. And so I had this kid call me. Hi, I need to know what the administrator password is for this laptop. Who are you? Oh, I'm such and so. Who is such and so? You know, he just gave me a first name. Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm so and so's son. Yeah. Well, I need the root password. No. Well, I want it. No. So he starts screaming at me and arguing with me. I said, son, here's the deal. You hang up right now, or we're going to wipe out your father's machine from here. You can't do that. You want to watch me? Well, don't do that. My dad will get really angry. He doesn't know I'm you. I mean, don't do that.
Yeah.
So it really mm-hmm. was the son?
Yeah, it really was.
Well, my first thought was he was just scamming you.
No.
Well, how many scams?
Well, yeah, right. It wouldn't matter because he still wasn't getting it. Yep. So, these kids are... I don't know the heck with these kids. All right, kids, that's it for Uncle Dave's Story Hour. Wipe out your hot cocoa mugs. Get off your footy jammies. Put your real clothes back on because we're going to give Uncle Dave a shot and put him back on the shelf for another week. But he'll be back next week. Same bat time, same bat channel. So we have those interesting little stories that we talk about with kids. And you know, folks, the reality is I get it. You don't know a lot about using your computer. That's fair and that's fine, but don't let your kids be in charge. That's just for many people, I get it. You trust your kids, you love your kids. But you know what? They're kids. They push the boundaries, they think they know more than you do, and in particular, they really think they have a big right to do whatever they want on the internet, and it's so easy to get into the wrong places and do the wrong things. All right, we're going to take another quick break. It is 19 minutes after the hour. We will be back on the other side of these small little underwriting segments with a whole lot more of the greatest computer show in the known universe with Steve Ray and Dave Enright. I'm Nick Francesco, and you're listening to Soundbites on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Computer talk you can understand. More Sound Bites is next on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Sound Bites, America's longest-running computer show, is celebrating 20 years on air. Join Jazz 90.1 as we celebrate this great occasion with a party and live broadcast Saturday, September 5th at the Radisson Hotel Rochester Riverside in downtown Rochester. Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray will broadcast Sound Bites live from the Radisson from noon to 2, answering all your computer questions just as they have for the past two decades. You can ask your questions in person on the air and meet Nick, Dave, and Steve, and enjoy munchies, a cash bar, and even a birthday cake. You can only get tickets by listening to Jazz 90.1. For more info, visit jazz901.org or call 966-2660.
Jazz 90.1 is supported in part by our members and by the 34th Annual Park Avenue Summer Arts Festival. The festival takes place this year on August 1st and 2nd with over 300 artists, food, live entertainment, and kid-friendly activities. As a reminder, no pets, bikes, or drinking are allowed at the festival. There's plenty of parking between Gleason Works on University and Monroe Square on Monroe Avenue, with shuttles to and from the festival. For more information on this year's Park Ave Festival, you may visit www.park-avenue.org/events. Jazz 90.1 will again be at the Park Ave Festival all weekend between Alexander and Meg's.
Hi, this is Phil Dodd. Please join me weekdays from noon to 3 on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And at 22 minutes after the hour, you're listening to the greatest computer show in the known universe, Soundbites. And we are the longest-running computer show. What does that mean? Well, it means that on September 5th, it's our 20th anniversary party. And we're going to be having a great party. It'll be at the Rochester Radisson Riverside, pick a couple more R's, Hotel.
On Main Street.
Main Street, yeah. On Main Street by the Genesee River. For you old timers, it's the old Holiday Inn. And we'll have Dave, I'm still hearing music in the background here.
He's on the phone.
We'll have giveaway prizes. We'll have vendors there. We're going to have a birthday cake. We'll have munchies. We'll have a cash bar. We'll be there doing the show from 12 to 2. We're going to have we're going to have more fun than you can begin to imagine. And I don't know why you think you're not going to be there. All you have to do is listen to this station. All week long, they'll be giving away tickets. All week long. Yes, on this show, but also at other times. And in fact,
tell you what, we're going to have this party. Let's give away some more tickets.
I don't see why not.
Yep. Tell you what, if you're the 10th caller and you're not staff, volunteer, underwriter of Jazz 90.1, their families, and any listener that has won the past 30 days on any of these giveaways, pick up the phone, give us a call at 966-5299 or 1-800-790-0415. Now, if you need to have this, you can get a complete listing of the rules by writing Jazz 90.1 Contest Rules, 1190 Maiden Lane, Rochester, New York, 14615. Be the 10th caller, and we'll get you on the air.
We won't get you on the air, but we will give you a pair of tickets to the September 5th party.
No, I'm thinking we got a person to go on the air.
I know, we've got Dar. Is this Dar in Toronto, Ontario, Canada?
Yep.
Hi, Dar, how are you?
How are you? About the Kindle Orwell deal.
Yeah.
There's a website, and it's by Stuart McMillan's, and it's called Amusing Ourselves to Death. And the address is http://i=1952.
All righty, and we'll get that website up on.
It's originally a book as well.
There you go.
Yep.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you, Dar. Have a great day yourself.
Cheers.
And we have a winner.
Yay!
So stay tuned because we still got some more tickets to give away, and we will be doing that before we leave here. So just get patient.
He was postulating that. And this was at the 1984 Frankfurt Book Fair, Neil Postman, that the contemporary world is more like Aldous Huxley's Brave New World, where the public was oppressed by pleasure, rather than 1984, where they're oppressed by pain.
Right, right.
Interesting.
However, we are exactly like 1984 in that people are taking books out of the library and replacing them with pieces of paper.
Yep.
I cannot believe that they did that to 1984. That's just hysterically funny.
Well, they focus on those two books, that and Animal Farm. I wonder how many other ones were involved.
Well, right. But those are the ones, I mean, particularly 1984, it's just too juicy not to mention it. That's pretty cool. Laptop prices. Now, you want to listen to this whole story because there's a lot more to this story than just the price. Laptops are closing the price cap on less powerful netbooks, with retailers delivering fully equipped systems, so to speak, for under $300 as part of promotional offers. Walmart, for example, will start offering limited quantities of a fully loaded compact laptop for $298 starting July 26th, according to an entry on their checkout blog site. The laptop being offered is a compact Presario from Hewlett-Packard, which is powered by an AMD Sempron SI42 processor running at 2.1 gigahertz. It's a lower-end processor. The laptop comes with Vista, includes a 15.6-inch screen, 3 gig of RAM, 160-gig hard drive, and NVIDIA's GeForce 8200M integrated graphics, a lower-end video card. It includes a DVD-RW. That's according to the specifications provided by HP. We'll see what actually shows up on the website. For such a low price, the laptop is packed with a lot of features and could run out of stock quickly. According to Walmart, they say, we expect this one to be quite popular. Best Buy did the same thing last week with an Acer laptop for $299, a dollar more, and the offer was pulled after they ran out of stock.
Yeah, it's especially companies like Walmart and Best Buy. They use them as loss leaders.
Yeah.
They'll get you into store, and they'll sell you all the other stuff.
Right, because they usually will have three or four.
Right, and of course, when you buy a computer from a box store, you have to worry about support. And you want to check the warranty very, very carefully. We here at Soundbites always recommend you buy from a local dealer because you have a face to look at and somebody to complain to when or if there's a problem. So certainly these deals are attractive, but check the warranty very particularly on the laptops, because you bang them around, you knock them around, and in general, it's depot service. So you drop it off at the store, they send it away for 3 weeks, and then maybe it comes back quickly, maybe it doesn't, whatever, and get over it. You know, that's just the way it works.
Yeah, so. Walmart did it a few weeks ago with a Blu-ray player, a cheap, low-end brand, none of the special features, but it was $99 for a Blu-ray player, so they can sell you the $2,000 high-def TV.
Right, exactly. The other interesting thing is that somebody on the forum just said, why don't they knock off a few bucks from the price by dropping Vista? Well, people aren't buying Linux in quantity yet. However, a bunch of people just got refunded the 100 and whatever it is price for XP by going to their store and saying, we put Linux on these laptops, we want our money back for the license, and they gave it to them.
But see, the rule is, and I think it's got to be this true with Steve, unless you're buying parts, they cannot sell you a system without an operating system.
The big box stores, yes. And all that. Yeah, absolutely.
They are contracted to sell it with an OS.
With Windows.
With Microsoft. Yep. Right. So you have to you create a completely separate brand of computer to not have that Microsoft contract.
It depends on how that works.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
it depends on what your contract is with Microsoft. Mm-hmm.
Well, because then, you know, you also run the risk of, you know, if you start buying the parts, then you're only getting a 1 year warranty. Whereas you buy a package, like with our systems, you know, we got a 3 year warranty. So, you know.
But you can sell them without an OS.
Yes.
Because you don't have that super huge Microsoft deal. And that's how Microsoft got to where they are today. They make deals with these companies, they'll sell them Windows for ridiculously cheap amounts of money. But the deal is they have to put it on every single system that goes out the door, whether the person wants it or not. So I cannot buy from HP a computer without Windows on it. I cannot buy from Dell unless, as Steve says, they've created a separate line specifically for that.
Yep.
And generally, it's not their higher-end, better-supported machine.
Although, interestingly, Linux doesn't need the higher-end
machine. Well, and that's just it. Yeah. I've got a bunch of old computers, old laptops and old desktops that I'm using for test systems that run Linux faster than Windows runs on some of my newer machines.
And I'm surprised that $300 machine is a Sempron and not an Atom. Because that's usually how they get it that much cheaper, because it's a much slower process.
And the other thing that I don't understand, you know, Dell's doing this and a number of other high-end people, that they're sitting there saying, okay, if you want put Vista, you don't want Vista, you want XP, they're charging you
double,
you know, like $75 more.
Yep.
Now, wait a minute.
Because someone has to go in and do it.
Well,
you're paying for their labor.
But the thing
or
is,
they have to have a second production line.
And granted, you know, they give you the Vista CD, and then they give you this other code because they've already preloaded the XP that you can put it to downgrade.
And that was
that's still an upgrade.
That was the program from Microsoft. If you buy a license for the current version, you can downgrade to a previous version.
But you're still paying for two products, and I only want the one.
Yep.
Don't send me the CD for Vista. I don't want that piece of. It's right up there with ME. I'd love to have a.
I keep saying this. Vista is the ME of the 21st
CD,
century.
War here. You know, like out in the parking lot or something, where we bring the Vista and ME CDs that are still around and have, you know, some 4x4 run over.
Pull.
Yeah. Oh.
Actually, I've done that at a friend's house.
Set up like a paint booth stand, you know, and pepper it with paintballs.
There you go.
Or something.
We got a tweet from Dory. That says, yay, Uncle D.O.F. or Dave. Sorry, listening attentively. We won't go into that, but I just wanted you to know that it was there.
Thank you, sweetie.
that we're getting those.
They're out in Omaha. It's amazing, though, the callers. I mean, that one gentleman there from...
70.
Yeah.
Yeah, we were all the way up to, 81.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, well, that other gentleman listens regularly.
From Vienna, Virginia.
Yeah.
Outside the Beltway.
Yeah. Outside the Beltway, definitely. Yeah. That's the only reason we talked to him.
Was that? It was George? Yeah, it was George.
And
Troy, New York. Dan's in Troy, New York. Dar's in Toronto, Canada, for Pete's sake.
Tay was down in South Carolina that you took the
IRC. Right, right. Dory's wherever.
Nebraska.
Nebraska. So people are listening all over the country.
Him and
to this show.
Golda and...
And of course, we do the Second Life thing on Friday nights,
yep.
And we get people from all over the world coming to that. So we're getting out there now. Your job is to ask your local member supported station why they don't carry our show. That's your job.
And get
job.
The word out there, folks. The biggest thing that we're trying
tell your
to do
friends, like, tell your enemies, tell your neighbors, tell total strangers.
Tell them that we're over here on Jazz 90.1. We're doing just about a full 2 hours.
Yeah,
I mean, it's an out. What
we are doing a full 2 hours. Come on, 2 minutes here, 2 minutes there, and people get all day long. I get people saying, "Hey, when? Too bad. When are you guys coming back on the radio?" Well, we never left the radio. Yeah, we're just on a different station. We're on member supported Jazz 90.1 now.
Some of them have been saying that since the first station.
Yeah, well, yes, that is very true. But this is where we are. My favorite part was some guy called him and says, "Hey, you do a radio show." Yeah, I do. I said, well, I've listened to member-supported Jazz 90.1 forever, and suddenly you guys appeared. I heard an ad for you guys, and I listened in last Saturday. It was great. Okay, that's good to know. So we're getting new people. We've got old folks finding us. It's all good. It's all good.
Yep, we're hoping to even get out some window stickers.
Yep, we're gonna do it all at this party. So, when we give them away, and remember, I have to keep saying this, they give them away all week long. So don't wait for Saturday. Listen all week.
And from what Laura Lynn was saying to me, she's getting quite the lineup of vendors and that are going to be at this. You know, because it's just not going to be us, you know, doing the radio show. They're going to have other booths and that type of stuff of vendors that are going to be there. I know Frontier is already going to be. I believe the Amex are going to be there. You know, the lineup is
growing. Yeah, if you're interested in seeing some of this stuff, you know, people are always asking about stuff, and we say, well, go look at it. Go see it before you make your decision. Come to the show and see what happens.
Yeah.
Win your tickets and then come to the party is what I meant to say. All right. On Thursday, Apple released Final Cut Studio and Logic Studio, which has moved their flagship video and audio editing suites exclusively to the Intel chipset. And while previous releases were universal apps for either the PowerPC or Intel CPUs, these versions are Intel only. Adobe has been making similar moves with some of its programs as well. Both Soundbooth CS4 and After Effects CS4 are Intel-only apps. Beyond these mainstream productivity apps, many new games are shipping with Intel-only requirements. Call of Duty 4, for instance. There are many other such examples. You can find lots of pointers on Transgaming Technology's CIDR page. CIDR is a technology, as well as a user group, that lets developers wrap their Windows games in a Mac-compatible bundle so that they can be ported to the Mac with minimal work. It seems each time there's an Intel-only release, there's an uproar from the PowerPC using population screaming, "Hey, what about us?" The unfortunate reality for PowerPC users is that the PowerPC chip is dead. It's toast. It's history.
3 years ago.
3 years ago. The first Intel-powered Macs were introduced in January 2006, making the most recent PowerPC machines nearly 4 years old. In computing years, that's a really long time. Of course, Windows XP is 5 years older than that. It came out on October 25th, 2001. So maybe 4 years, 5 years isn't so long after all.
Mm-hmm.
For developers, the transition to the Intel chip complicated the task of developing new products because they had to do both, or which one do you do, or how do you do that? So now that everybody's really moving to the Intel platform, it's easier for developers. So while there are probably more than 10 million PowerPC machines out there, and that's a lot of potential customers, it's not necessarily trivial for a new release or updated older release to support those machines. Consider that these machines have less powerful CPUs, by many magnitudes in some cases, slower graphics cards, and probably less RAM than today's machines. Supporting these older machines isn't easy. And as many recent releases have shown, many people are choosing to go with the Intel only route. If you're a PowerPC user, This doesn't mean that your Intel only app, this move to Intel only apps doesn't mean that your machine is worthless, of course. It just means that its abilities will be limited to those programs that can run today and probably one or two more releases of the most popular productivity applications. Of course, as our friend Chris Reich is finding, PowerPCs run Linux just beautifully, thank you, and you can certainly extend the life of old hardware that way.
Mm-hmm.
You can put Linux on PowerPCs. Chris has been doing that for a while now and just gets more and more excited every time he does it. And you end up with a really powerful machine because Linux requires less in the way of RAM and video cards to do the same exact amount of work.
Yeah, the Intel machines are just so much faster than the PowerPCs. It's one of the reasons I switched. And interestingly, this is Apple's third major chip transition, their fourth chip they used. They started with the 6502 and then switched to the 68000, switched to the PowerPC, and now to the Intel. And they've survived. That's something that not many other companies have been able to do, switching the brain in their computer and still survive.
Well, and Apple, you know, you got to give them all props for their bravery.
Yes.
You know, the first time they did it was the toughest. I mean, that was a long leap.
Right. They were the number one computer platform. Mm-hmm.
Thank you for all the people who supported us all these years, and now we're abandoning you.
That's the way people looked at it. They did make a coprocessor card for some of their machines
but
to run.
Right, but not all of them, and they didn't do everything.
Yeah, the 68K to PowerPC translation had an emulator, so you could run your old software for another couple of years.
Yeah.
And then the same thing in the Intel, the PowerPC to Intel translation.
There was
a couple years.
That was really hanging it out there.
The next operating system, Snow Leopard, coming out in September, will also be Intel only. And one of the things they're doing is making it really much faster than the current 10.5 Leopard. And the way they're doing that is removing all the PowerPC code. So they're taking out, and from what we're hearing on developers, they're taking out about 6 gigabytes of code that's currently in 10.5, and now suddenly your Intel machine runs so much faster because it doesn't have to see, oh, Intel or PowerPC, which one should I use?
Right, so there's no state switching and you know checking, and it runs much faster. Now, you folks at CIDR, the Computer Information and Data Exchange of Rochester Club, or do you just call yourself CIDR now?
Apple CIDR Inc., yeah.
Right. Now, Chris Reich is a member of that group. Is he doing a SIG there?
No, we have done different demonstrations. He showed us different things on that as well, but we haven't actually looked into doing a Linux SIG for it, and that's something to bring up to the board.
On the PowerPC, somebody at the thing should do it.
But that's one of the things we've done. It was a real hard transition from Apple II to Macintosh when we stopped doing Apple II. We still have a few people that do Apple IIs.
Yeah, right. All right, we are going to take a quick break, but we will be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and each and every one of you. You are listening to the greatest and longest running computer show in the known universe. We are Soundbites, and we are member supported. Jazz 90.1. Be right back.
It's America's longest running computer show. Back to more Soundbites with Nick, Dave, and Steve. Next on member supported Jazz 90.1. Soundbites, America's longest-running computer show, is celebrating 20 years on air. Join Jazz 90.1 as we celebrate this great occasion with a party and live broadcast Saturday, September 5th at the Radisson Hotel Rochester Riverside in downtown Rochester. Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray will broadcast Soundbites live from the Radisson from noon to 2, answering all your computer questions just as they have for the past two decades. You can ask your questions in person on the air and meet Nick, Dave, and Steve and enjoy munchies, a cash bar, and even a birthday cake. You can only get tickets by listening to Jazz 90.1. For more info, visit jazz901.org or call 966-2660.
The Jazz 90.1 member card is more than just a card. It's our way of thanking you for supporting Jazz 90.1. Because in return, you can save money all year long by showing your Jazz 90.1 member card for discounts at fine local member card businesses, including 45 East Fine Jewelers, Adams Basin Inn, Antonetta's Italian Restaurant, The Bob Shop, Bert Shapiro Photography, Hedonist Artisan Chocolates, Leaf and Bean Coffee Company, Lorraine's Food Factory, Mary Boyce of Mario's Hair Studio, Mind and Body Connection, New Health Cafe, Small World Bakery, Sound Source, and Tuxedo Corner, Irondequoit and Gates locations.
So carry your Jazz 90.1 member card and show it when you shop. For a complete and up-to-date list of member card businesses, visit our website at www.jazz901.org. To get your member card, call 966-5299. That's 966-JAZZ, and become a member of Jazz 90.1.
Hi, this is Jeff Harris. Join me every Sunday night from 5 to 7 on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Ooh, what do we got?
I don't know. I don't
fight
in
music, right?
I just play it.
It's very nice. All right, we're back at 42 minutes after the hour. You're with Dave. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
And I have no idea what we're doing, except that this may well possibly be the longest-running computer show in the known universe. Soundbites on member-supported Jazz 90.1. I don't know what else it could be. During the break, a couple of people on the forum were telling us that you can get all that PowerPC information from Chris over at Lugor, the Linux Users Group of Rochester. Their website is lugor.org, but I'm going to take them to task, since apparently their website has not been updated since May 2009, and I believe that the next meeting information is well over a year old, but somebody in the forums, Drock, is telling us, in the forums, in the IRC chat, is telling us that the Lugor meeting is on August 20th.
It's still the third Thursday of the month.
Right, it's the third Thursday of every month. He also says that Linus Torvalds, the guy who, of course, created Linux, had a PC as his primary development system for a while. Yeah, the third Thursday of the month, Drock says. There you are.
Maybe somebody.
Lugar's a good group of people.
I say they should get a hold of us and let us know. So,
well, we have a calendar. For those of you, by the way, I should say this to everybody. Yeah. We have a calendar on our website at soundbites.org. Right now, the only thing on that calendar is our show. But if you are the person who does the calendar for your computer club, or at least somehow vaguely related computer club.
Computer related, yes.
Send me an email, and I will give you. I think you need a Gmail account, but if you send me the information, I'll let you have access to that calendar to put your stuff on it. Just make sure that you keep it current and keep it clean, and you know, put just your stuff on it, and say what city and state you're in, so that people will know. So, yeah, if you do all of that stuff, we'll be happy to add you to that calendar. If you go to soundbites.org, click on the calendar tab, it'll tell you how to make contact with me to get that done. And I'll be happy to do it for you. So let me know. And you know what?
What do you want to do?
It's party time.
All right.
Let's give away some tickets.
We got a pair of tickets, folks. So tell you what, if you're the 10th caller, you're not staff, volunteers, underwriters of Jazz 90.1, their families are listening and have won in the past 30 days, pick up the phone, dial 966-5299, 1-800-790-0415, and you could win a pair of tickets to the big birthday bash on September 5th. Now remember, if you need to... a copy of the rules, you can write here to Jazz 90.1 Contest Rules, 1139 Maiden Lane, that's Rochester, New York, 14615, if you really need those instructions. But, you know, pick up the phone, be the 10th caller, and win your pair of tickets to this great gala.
It's going
to
be in a gala.
Party events. Like it's 1989.
We are going to party like it's 1984.
Exactly. And not leave a slip of paper?
Exactly. Exactly. But we started in 1989, and now it's 2009, and we're going to party like it's 1989. We're going to all look 20 years younger. Well, for Steve, that would make him 11, I think, at this point.
Yeah, really.
But that's all right. We're going
to
have...
Where's that put Rob? I don't think he'll be able to come to the show
then. That's exactly right. His mother will have to come, and it'll be a whole other thing. Exactly. But
Rob,
we're going to...
Rob couldn't be here.
That's right, because he won't be born for another 2 years. We're gonna it's gonna be a great time. The party's from 11 to 3. It's at the Radisson Riverside Hotel, and you can't get in without a ticket. So call for the tickets. We're giving them away right now, but don't forget, we are also giving them away all week long on member supported Jazz 90.1. So listen all week, and you can win the tickets. And once you get there, you're gonna find we're gonna have munchies, a cash bar, a birthday cake. We're gonna have vendors. We're gonna have giveaway prizes.
And we have
we're
going to
be on the air live. We have a winner already for this this pair of tickets, so you can get off the phone now. And remember, if you're already a winner, sit on your hands, let somebody else have a shot. You don't need more tickets. Live with what you got. But it's going to be a gala event. We're going to have way too much fun. And I sincerely hope that you all win tickets and you all get to come. It's going to be a great day. It's going to be a lot of fun. And I'm really looking forward to it.
Rumor had it, though, even Miss Alali, for folks that are in the forums, might even...
Well, we don't know. We'll see. That's a whole other set of stories, but we don't know. We're not promising anything. But here's the best part is that it's just going to be a party. We will be on the air. You'll be able to get on the air. We may not even take questions. We just chit-chat with the people who have been listening for 20 years, you know?
Yeah, and everybody that shows up
for the
party.
We can do anything we want. We don't care. And so if you're coming, well, you'll get to talk on the air. Keep it clean. Don't forget. But we're just going to have way too much fun, so show up.
On September 5th, 1989, U.S. President George H.W. Bush held up a bag of cocaine purchased across the street in his first televised speech to the nation. 1989 was a banner year.
Yeah! So, yeah, it should be fun. I've invited some of the old faces and voices, actually, I guess, some of the old voices to come. We'll see if any of them say yay or nay. It would be great to see them, and we'll see what we... what we have. So it's going to be a great event. Listen all week long, and I can't emphasize this enough. People have been complaining that they haven't won tickets yet. Well, first, you got another month and a half, but more importantly, or at least equally importantly, you don't have to just listen on Saturday. Listen all week long, because they're giving away tickets all week long.
Yep.
So it should be kind of fun.
It's just somebody else that it was very pleased that they won their tickets and can't wait for the party, wondering how big it's going to be.
See?
You know, I mean, it's going to be a big event. Well, hey, we've been 20 years practicing at this, and
practicing is what we're doing.
Yeah.
That's exactly right.
Maybe we'll get it right then.
Yeah, right. Well, Adobe Systems, late on Wednesday, admitted its Flash and Reader software have a critical vulnerability and promised it would patch both next week. Now, that may sound impressive, but Adobe's own bug tracking database showed that the company has known of the vulnerability for nearly 7 months. In the security advisory posted around 10 p.m. Eastern Time Wednesday, Adobe acknowledged that earlier reports were on target. A critical vulnerability exists in the current versions of Flash players for Windows, Macintosh, and Linux operating systems, and the offplay file, offplay.dll or offplay.so or whatever it happens to be on your machine, the component that ships with Adobe Reader and Acrobat version 9.x for Windows, Macintosh, and the Unix operating system have this vulnerability. The offplay file mentioned in the advisory is the interpreter that handles Flash content embedded within PDF files and is present on any machine equipped with Reader and Acrobat. Adobe said it would patch all versions of Flash by July 30th, a mere 7 months after they were informed of the problem, and Reader and Acrobat for Windows and Mac no later than July 31st, leaving we Linux users swinging in the breeze again. Although we don't need Acrobat. You know, Reader is, Flash is important, but Reader and Acrobat, we don't care. We've got events. Until a patch is available, Adobe said users who delete or rename the offplay or disable Flash rendering to stymie attacks within malformed PDF files should be okay. Adobe did not offer any similar workaround for Flash and could only recommend that users should exercise caution in browsing untrusted websites. You can't even go to any website anymore without Flash ads popping up, so this is just lame. This is simply lame. Unlike previous PDF-based attacks, disabling the application's use of JavaScript does no good. Firefox users can install the NoScript add-on to block Flash directly at the browser, and that's recommended, and Windows Vista users are shielded from silent attacks by the operating system's user account control prompts.
But everyone is programmed to click OK for anyway.
We're all programmed to click OK. While Adobe stopped short in its advisory and an accompanying blog post by confirming the attacks, more security companies stepped forward on Wednesday to report they had spotted not only hacks using rigged PDF documents, but also drive-by attacks launched from compromised websites. Most attacks reported so far have been exploits served by malicious PDF files. The PDF here is just the vehicle for the attack. You know what? You don't really need both Flash and Reader on your system. The possibility definitely exists of a malicious Flash stream from a website could exploit this. They just don't know what the deal is with these things. They could get worse and worse. And Adobe's just sat on their hands for 7 months, and I'm simply not impressed.
They finally fixed a Shockwave flaw. Everyone's forgotten about Shockwave. Because most of the time you download Flash Shockwave together.
Right.
But there was a flaw in the standalone Shockwave. That they announced a little while ago.
Right. Right. And if you like Hulu, or as people, as Archandra and Drac are talking about in the forum, if you like YouTube, if you like Hulu, you need Flash. So, and pretty much every place else, you know, too. Yeah, we'd all rather have HTML5 video, but that's a whole
ain't
other
gonna happen.
Story.
Yeah.
I want... personally, I want it to all be in Ogg Theora format, personally.
Well, and you want files.
Firefox 3.5.
I want files. Yep. Please, somebody. So if anybody's listening who knows somebody who's important at Verizon, please bring files to Rochester, please.
Or just fiber in general.
Fiber in general.
Yeah.
I have DSL, and I have to say I absolutely love it. But I really hate the fact that Rochester, and this is not for me personally, but for Rochester, which has been for so many years in the forefront of technology and leading the way in so many things, is now way far behind other places because we simply don't have the same kind of infrastructure that other cities do. And that's hurting us in who comes here to bring a business to us and how businesses can grow and stuff like that. When you reach a certain size, you need those things that you don't necessarily have here, and we want them for ourselves. So that, you know, it has not, I'm very happy with my DSL. I'm absolutely ecstatic with it. It's great. It's fast. It's you know, I'm you know, I own the line all the way down to the central office, so I'm a happy little camper. Mm-hmm. I get that. I always have my 6 megabits. It never gets less, ever, ever. It never fluctuates. I love it. But for Rochester itself, we need, and it doesn't have to be Fios. Frontier can do this.
Yeah.
You know, we just need to have better high-speed, really high-speed, and I mean high, ludicrous speed.
Other cities have 100 megabit, and we
right.
get 10 at the
if
most.
If we're going to maintain...
Other third-world countries have
right.
better...
If we want to regain that technological edge that we as a city, we in this area had for so many years. And that's what it's about for me, and it's not about me personally. I'm not, you know, I don't care.
And ironically, that's the problem, because we were the forefront. All our wires are old.
Yeah. Well, and that's just it. Yeah. And it's, you know, I understand that it costs a lot of money, and in these parlous time, that's very, very difficult. But gee willikers, anyway. You know, I'd love to see us get that, because I think we need it. I'm just upset that we don't have it. Can you tell?
Just a little.
Yeah. Microsoft, by the way, has hired George Blankenship, a former Gap executive, who, by the way, launched Apple's retail arm back in 2001. Microsoft has hired him to help Microsoft's own store launching in the fall of 2009. Yes, Microsoft's opening their own stores. So that's pretty interesting. Are we done? Is that what just happened?
Yeah.
Holy mother of pearl.
Well,
look at this.
The ironic thing there is Microsoft said they're going to open their stores next to Apple stores.
Yes, yes, that's exactly
and
right.
And they're hiring the former Apple guy to do it.
That's exactly right. It's the way these things work. All right, I guess we're done for another week. Oh, it is. It's 5-0. Holy mother of pearl. What took me so long to figure that
time
out?
Time goes by fast when you're
time goes
fun.
By when you are having fun. And we've had nothing but fun for these past 2 hours. So don't forget, join us next week and listen all week to member-supported Jazz 90.1 for your chance to win tickets to the most fun birthday party that has happened in the last 20 years. No questions asked. I want to thank Dave Enright and Steve Ray. I'm Nick Francesco, and you have been listening to the greatest computer show in the known universe. We are Soundbites. This is member-supported Jazz 90.1. Listen all week. Win those tickets. Join us on September 5th, and have a great week. We'll be back next Saturday.